Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Before this week, I did not know very much about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. To be honest, Michael Shulman from over at The New Yorker, he isn't much of an MCU head either. But because he covers Hollywood, becoming an expert has not really been optional for him.
I mean, Marvel is the most successful franchise in movie history.
Okay, that's saying something.
Yeah, I mean, it's made more money than anything in movies since the existence of movies. And it not only is successful on its own, but it kind of created this model of having a cinematic universe where all of the different movies and eventually TV shows are connected in on a fictional canvas, and one blockbuster can beget another blockbuster and lead audiences to the next product.
Has 2023 been kind to the MCU?
No, it's been disastrous.
2023 has been disastrous for Marvel at the box office, with ticket sales way down. It's been disastrous behind the scenes, with the sudden departure of key executives. And then this week, it became disastrous in an entirely new way.
This morning, actor Jonathan Majors' ascent in Hollywood halted as he awaits sentencing.
Jonathan Majors was gearing up to be Marvel's next big star. Then he got found guilty of abusing his girlfriend.
Jonathan, how do you feel right now?
Majors convicted of two misdemeanors for recklessly assaulting his then-girlfriend, Grace Jabari, in March, fracturing her finger and leaving her ear bloody. He was acquitted of assaulting her intentionally.
He was found guilty of a domestic violence crime, essentially.
That is not the guy you want starring in your superhero film.
Yeah. And, this is obviously terrible for this woman, first of all. And also, a big headache for Marvel, because they had cast him as this character, Kang, who was being set up to be the new supervillain, this villain that kind of pulled together different strains of Marvel storytelling.
Yeah, the thing about Jonathan Majors is that it's not like he was set up to play one character. He was like a whole universe of characters. At the end of one of Marvel's recent movies, like, he appeared in a little scene during the credits, and he was playing a whole bunch of different versions of himself.
And now kind of none of them are usable because Jonathan Majors himself has been fired.
Now that Majors is out, does what happened here say more about him as an actor in particular or wider troubles in the land of Marvel?
Well, it's both. They really pummeled you with this guy. Like, you cannot escape Kang in any universe you travel to. He's going to be there. And now he's not going to be.
Today on the show, the rapid rise and precipitous fall of Jonathan Majors. Will it take down Marvel, too? I'm Mary Harris. You're listening to What Next? Stick around. This episode is brought to you by Discover. When it comes to your finances, Discover wants you to know they are the credit card that is always there for you. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, that means no more waiting for, quote, normal business hours just to get a hold of someone. We are talking real service from real people whenever you need it. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I wonder if you can do me a favor and explain who is Jonathan Majors, for those who might not know, because he's not just this Marvel supervillain. Like, he graduated from Yale School of Drama, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he was someone who became prominent very quickly. You know, I remember first noticing him in The Last Black Man in San Francisco, an A24 film in 2019.
Grotowski, Koslovsky, Chekhov, Brecht. These are the greats.
I'm confused, bro.
In 2020, he was in Spike Lee's To Five Bloods and HBO's Lovecraft Country. He really built this career both as like a interesting dramatic actor who could be in like an HBO film, a you know Spike Lee project, A24 movies, as well as like you know big franchises. He's you know kind of big and brawny, but he also had this sort of brooding cerebral quality.
He strikes me as really confident too. Like a New York Times writer tossed into their reporting this anecdote about how he showed up to an interview late, but he had a portable speaker playing Kanye West and he was comparing himself to Al Pacino or Robert De Niro. So it sounded like he just had a lot of oomph.
Yeah. And it's not often that Hollywood is graced with just a sort of full-fledged movie star who just comes out of you know, thin air. Mm. So I think everyone was really excited to have him.
Tell me about his Marvel Cinematic Universe character, Kang.
I mean, the thing is, it's many characters. So, you know, there's like evil Kang the Conqueror.
And you think you can beat me? I am Kang!
There's scientist Victor Timely.
Time is everything.
That's part of the appeal of the role is that it's many roles. It shows off your range. And he certainly seemed to have the range to do it all. You know, it's kind of like being a repertory theater actor. You can just be a different person, put on a different costume, and you're someone else.
Let's talk about how things started to go south for Majors. Like, he was arrested in late March after an ex-girlfriend, Grace Jabari, filed a criminal complaint against him. What exactly happened here?
They were in a car. He got a text from someone, you know, like a flirty text.
It was like, I wish I was kissing you right now or something.
Yeah. So she tried to grab the phone and that led to this dispute where he ended up grabbing her hand really hard. And some of it was caught on video, like closed circuit TV video. So we've kind of seen the outside of the car with, you know, what seems like him sort of trying to shove her back in. You know, it was a violent confrontation.
It kicked off this whole evening where the ex-girlfriend sort of ran away, went clubbing, went back to the apartment, and Jonathan Majors came home to their apartment to find her locked in the bedroom and on the floor and was worried that she had hurt herself, right?
Yeah, and you know, the fact that she went out clubbing later is something that his defense lawyers tried to use against her unsuccessfully.
Right, like, oh, it wasn't a big deal, whatever happened, because she was out and about.
There was also a very strange chapter to this where he filed a counter complaint against her, basically saying that she was the one attacking him and she was arrested. But the DA declined to prosecute her for that. So she never had any sort of like
trial of her own.
Trial of her own. Exactly.
But the allegations against Majors kept coming. In June, Rolling Stone reported that other women said they had also been mentally or physically abused by him. Eventually, Grace Jabari released recordings she'd made of her private interactions with Majors. In them, he criticized her drinking and told her she wasn't being supportive.
How dare you come home drunk and disturb the peace of our house when we have a plan? Coretta Scott King, you know who that is? That's Martin Luther King's wife. Michelle Obama, Barack Obama's wife. I'm a great man. A great man. I am doing great things.
He was dropped from a bunch of things. His management company dropped him. His PR company dropped him. He was supposed to be in ad campaigns for the U.S. Army, for the Texas Rangers. So he lost a lot of stuff in his career immediately as he awaited trial. But Marvel was the one big thing he was involved in that kind of sat on their decision. The minute he was found guilty this past week, they confirmed that they were firing him.
In a way, This decision was both a long time coming and instantaneous. Jonathan Majors lost his role as Kang within just a couple of hours of the verdict coming out.
I think in a way it would have been more complicated for them if he hadn't been found guilty. Because then what do they do? Hollywood doesn't have to wait for a court of law. Like Kevin Spacey was written out of House of Cards and then later acquitted in trials. And there are a million other examples of people who just get, quote unquote, canceled. Like they get fired for, whether it's under a morality clause in their contract or, people just declining to work with someone because they've revealed themselves to be so insanely difficult or just bad on some level that the audience doesn't want to see them. And, they're a corporate liability. So it seems like they waited to see if he would be found guilty in a court of law before they decided to do anything about it, possibly because of how complicated and messy it is to extract him from the cinematic universe.
Strangely enough, Marvel was not the only major studio trying to untangle a knot from its narrative web this year. In October, DC said it was canceling all future projects with the star of the Flash franchise, Ezra Miller. Miller had been charged with disorderly conduct, assault.
He had this altercation with some patrons at a karaoke bar in Hawaii and was, paid a fine for disorderly conduct.
Police say that Miller got agitated and began yelling obscenities at people at a bar who was singing karaoke.
He was charged with a burglary in Vermont, taking alcohol from someone's home, and pleaded guilty to trespassing.
It's just the latest in a string of legal troubles for the 29-year-old actor.
I mean, there's so many like bizarre things with his, behavior along the way, and they were kind of stuck with him. And, it was a big problem for this movie, which was also another kind of superhero failure of 2023, The Flash. And one of the problems was that Ezra Miller couldn't get out there and promote the film. They were just sidelined.
The way you tell it, it's almost like these movies kind of become too big to fail at a certain point. Like you have to just soldier on because, you've spent so much money on it or invested so much in the actor.
Yeah, absolutely. And, there were reports that DC was considering just shelving The Flash, which looking back on how badly it did and how sort of despised it was, maybe they would have considered if they had known that. But yeah, they are too big to fail.
Do you think Jonathan Majors can come back from this with his reputation intact? Like, what do you think it would even take?
I mean, never say never. Like, we've seen a lot of different people come back from various scandals and quote unquote cancellations. Louis C.K. is back doing stand up, etc. I think a domestic violence conviction is going to be extremely hard to come back from. But I also think that, the Me Too movement has shown us that we maybe don't need to prioritize that question of what happens to an abuser's career or fame. What's really important is, the people that they mistreated and, patterns of misogyny and harassment and violence. And so maybe Jonathan Majors should be working on himself rather than a movie.
Coming up, after a decade of box office dominance, what comes now for Marvel?
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queens say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of 4 episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
If you want to understand what is happening in the United States right now, you really need to understand what's happening with the courts, the law, and the Supreme Court. The battle between democracy and whatever this cage match is that we're witnessing, it's going to be won and lost at the ballot box, but it's also going to be won and lost in the courtrooms. I'm Dahlia Lithwick. I host Slate's legal podcast, Amicus, and we are doubling our output, bringing you weekly episodes from here on in, because how else can we keep an eye on the many trials of Donald Trump, the conservative legal movement's assaults on our rights, the Supreme Court's latest slate of environmental gutting, gun safety eviscerating cases on the docket? So follow Amicus wherever you get your podcasts, new episodes dropping every Saturday morning.
You've alluded to some other problems Marvel's faced this year, especially at the box office. Can you just explain where Marvel is more generally and how Jonathan Majors fits into that?
Well, they started off the year with Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, which was a pretty bad opening and a pretty disliked movie.
Headache-inducing visuals that are so obnoxiously overdone you can barely even process what you're seeing, and an ending that effectively puts everything back exactly as it was before, so that there's absolutely no weight or consequence to anything that you just saw.
It was just not that good, and in particular the special effects were seen as muddy and crude, and that was a big problem because that's one of the things that Marvel is known for. They bounced back a bit with the spring movie, the Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which did okay, but like it didn't gross as much as Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So you sense these diminishing returns. But people liked it. And then with their most recent movie, The Marvels, it was just a disaster. It was the lowest grossing MCU movie in their history. And you know, critically, it had some support, but it just seemed like people did not want to see it and didn't care anymore. I mean, this was really the year that, you know, like the sheen came off with Marvel. Like, it was seen as unbeatable, as just this juggernaut that would never end. And now there's a real question of how many years is this thing going to be, you know, the dominant force in movies?
I guess it's important to say that, like, the more Marvel you watch, the more you maybe enjoy it, because there are all these little Easter eggs for people who are super fans and have watched a lot of them. Like, characters will pop up and you'll only really know what they're doing there if you've watched something, 2 movies or TV shows before.
Yes. You know, it rewards expertise. And that works for a major movie franchise only as long as there's a mass audience coming back for more. You know, when I talked to one of the writers of Avengers Endgame, which was their biggest movie. And he described going to see it in the theater and seeing all the people like cheering for specific things that you'd only know if you'd saw the X number of movies that came before. And he said something to me like, it's preaching to the choir, but the choir is nearly global. You don't have to cater to people who don't care about Marvel, because enough people do that you can have blockbuster after blockbuster after blockbuster with people who have seen everything and know everything or know enough to follow. And I think it got to the point where it actually was a little too complicated and hard to follow what was happening. You had to watch, you know, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus to understand what was happening, and like Black Panther 2 or whatever. I'm just grabbing things out of thin air. Please don't correct me. But, you know, it got a little much for some people. It got to feel like work. And already Disney is scaling back significantly, you know, what comes out of the content faucet.
Was Jonathan Majors' character Kang, was that designed to kind of address some of the issues you're saying are inherent to Marvel movies, like maybe a lack of depth or too much chaos?
In a way, yes, because I think, you know, the way that the Marvel universe started, which was so exciting, was that they would introduce, you know, a hero, a different Avenger in each movie, and then they all came together for the movie The Avengers. So awesome. Then the next phase was introducing some more characters, and then they all come together in this even bigger team for The Avengers in Endgame. After that, the storytelling seemed to lose a lot of focus. Like, you know, the stories went in a lot of different directions, and they didn't have that same sort of momentum building up to a new thing. I think that's one of the problems that people have had with, you know, the last couple of years of Marvel. It has seemed diffuse. And Kang was potentially a way to sort of bring people together again. And one of the Avengers movies that is being planned is called The Kang Dynasty. Potentially, like Thanos, he could have been like a sort of central antagonist that brought all these disparate strands together to, you know, defeat him.
Do you expect to see a Kang movie coming out?
I mean, that's the big question for Marvel fans: is what are they going to do? Are they going to find a new Kang? Or are they going to find a new supervillain?
Now that it seems like Marvel's star may be fading a bit, audiences aren't coming, is there some new thing that's looking to take its place? Some new place where the energy in Hollywood is going?
Well, I mean, in a way, we're living in the world that Marvel created, in the sense that IP and, you know, franchises are now the bread and butter.
Like, there would be no Barbie movie without Marvel?
I was thinking more of Wednesday, you know, the big hit on Netflix. They've just announced that they're going to do an Uncle Fester series, and they're going to do other spinoffs of Wednesday. So there's now, like, you know, a Addams Family TV universe. Everybody wants a universe. Everyone wants a kind of IP property that can, like, be spun off ad infinitum forever. I think Marvel and this sort of the model that it helped create was closer than a lot of other things to like a sure bet, you know, in show business. You know, if we have this canvas with all these characters that are sort of, that have a built-in fan base from the comics, it doesn't matter if any particular installment is great or if any particular actor in the Marvel universe is that famous from other stuff. It was a web. It was a web of stories, and you had to sort of immerse yourself in it. So I think it offered Hollywood this illusion that you can just create a machine that runs on its own.
In a way, talking to you, I kind of wonder if the really notable thing about the Marvel Cinematic Universe is that it worked as a franchise for so long.
You know, it is incredible that Marvel has dominated for a decade and a half. You know, it's very rare that any kind of genre can be that successful for that long. I mean, in a way, a lot of people compare Marvel to Westerns. Like, you know, Westerns were so dominant in, you know, the 40s, 50s. And then eventually they didn't feel current. They didn't feel as relevant anymore. And people, you know, would reinvent and continue to reinvent and play with the form of the Western. To have one company define popular culture and sit on the top of popular culture for a decade and a half is a really long time. It's really hard to think of other things that are like that.
Yeah, I wondered a little bit if the Marvel story was really a what goes up must come down kind of story in the end.
Right. But now, you know, you have kids who are discovering movies and Marvel is what their parents like. Who wants to like what your parents like?
Michael, I'm super grateful for your time. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Michael Shulman is a staff writer for The New Yorker. And that's our show. What Next is produced by Paige Osborne, Elena Schwartz, Rob Gunther, Madeline Ducharme, and Anna Phillips. We are led by Alicia Montgomery with a little boost from Susan Matthews. Ben Richmond is the Senior Director of Podcast Operations here at Slate. And I'm Mary Harris. Thanks for listening. Catch you back here next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming soon from Slate Podcasts.
So, first it was Dade County.
Voters in the Miami area repealed civil rights for gay people by a 2-to-1 margin.
In the late 1970s, cities around the country began rolling back anti-discrimination laws that protected gay people.
And then it was Wichita, St. Paul, Eugene.
Successful campaigns against the gay community, which shocked us all.
A state senator from California watched the laws fall and saw an opportunity.
Homosexuality is a most repulsive lifestyle.
His name was John Briggs, and he wanted to deliver the anti-gay movement its biggest prize yet.
California realized that they were coming for us.
I'm Christina Cotterucci. This season on Slow Burn, we'll explore how a nationwide backlash against gays and lesbians led to a massive showdown in California.
Now it's something called Proposition 6, the Briggs Initiative.
It would call for firing any teachers in California who practice homosexuality.
Your life as you knew it would be destroyed.
We've got to fight back. We can't let this happen in California.
The Briggs Initiative would be the first statewide vote on gay rights.
Gay rights now! Gay rights!
With so much at stake, young people became activists.
We were all coming out all day long, every day.
And activists became leaders.
My name is Harvey Milk, and I'm here to recruit you.
Slow Burn, Season 9, Gays Against Briggs. Out May 22nd, wherever you listen.
If we lose here, it'll be 50 years before we ever get back up again.
Like the drag queen say, take out the earrings, sharpen the nails, there ain't no going back.